Title: Reverse Sampling for Transitions Masterclass for Modern Control with Vintage Tone Advanced. All right, let's get surgical. In drum and bass, reverse sampling isn't just a whoosh into the drop trick. It's a precision tool for tension, momentum, and phrasing. And if you do it right, you get that modern, controlled, mix-ready impact but with the worn-in, vintage movement you hear on classic jungle and early DNB records. Today you're building a repeatable workflow in Ableton Live, print audio on purpose, reverse it, shape it like an instrument, and commit it so it's reliable every time. By the end you'll have a little transition toolkit. Reverse reverb lead-ins, reverse impacts, reverse vocal call-ins, reverse bass suck-ins that don't trash your sub, plus one dedicated transitions chain you can reuse. Before we touch any effects, here's the mindset that separates pro transitions from random FX. Decide the anchor first. What is the listener supposed to anticipate on the downbeat? A snare? A crash? A vocal? A bass stab? The reverse exists to aim the listener's attention at that event. If you don't know what the anchor is, your reverse will feel like generic atmosphere. Now let's set up the session so this is fast. Create an audio track and name it Print Resample. Set Audino from to resampling. Set monitor to off. That monitor setting matters, because it avoids feedback loops when your resampling returns or buses. Only arm this track when you're actually printing. Then make a home for your reverse clips. You can do this as a transitions audio track, where all reverse effects clips live, or you can use return tracks if you like synth-based effects. For this lesson, think of it like two phases. Generate the sound, then print it to audio, then design it. And here's a coach tip that will save you headaches later. When you're printing, rely more on clip gain than the track fader. Clip gain lets you hit saturation or distortion at a consistent level every time. Then you mix later with the fader. That one habit makes your resampled library way more consistent. Let's start with the signature move. Reverse reverb lead in, the controlled classic. Pick a strong anchor hit that clearly signals drop. A snare on 2 and 4 is perfect in rolling DNB, but for this example, put the anchor hit exactly on the drop downbeat. Bar 17 beat 1, or wherever your drop starts. That placement is everything, because we're going to make the reverse land into it like it was always meant to be there. Now, create a reverb that's big but not cloudy. Use hybrid reverb or Ableton's reverb. Algorithmic mode is great for smooth tails. Set the decay somewhere around 3.5 to 7 seconds depending on how long you want the pull. Keep pre-delay tight, 0 to 15 milliseconds, because DNB wants precision. High cut the reverb around 6 to 10k so it's less fizzy and more record-like, and low cut it around 200 to 500 Hz to protect the low end. If you're printing only the reverb tail, go 100% wet, or do the same thing on a return track. Now print it. Solo what you need, arm print resample, and record 1 to 2 bars after the hit so you capture the tail cleanly. Don't rush this. If you cut it off early, the reverse will feel like it's missing the breath. Once it's printed, open the clip and hit reverse. Now you've got a reverb swell that rises into the hit. Timing. In DNB, reverses feel strongest when they reinforce the grid. 1 bar reverse is punchy and modern. 2 bars is heavier and more dramatic. 4 bars is for breakdown returns or big, theatrical moments. Drag the reversed clip so its endpoint hits exactly on the drop. Not close. Exactly. Now the part where modern control happens. Shaping. Put a Q8 and utility on the transitions track, or directly on the clip track where it lives. On a Q8, high pass it, usually somewhere between 150 and 300 Hz, sometimes higher. You're not here to build sub-energy. You're here to build anticipation in the mids and air. If it's fighting this air crack, dip a little around 2 to 4K. Don't overdo it. A small notch can open the whole drop. On utility, control width. Somewhere between 60 and 100% is typical, but narrower is often punchier and more monosafe. If any low content is still sneaking in, use bass mono if you have it available. And do a quick mono check. Set width to 0 temporarily. If the reverse disappears or turns into a harsh, facey mess, fix it now with less stereo processing and smarter EQ. Now we add the vintage tone. This is not just add distortion. Vintage often reads as movement and imperfection, not just crunch. Start with saturator. Soft clip on. Drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. You're aiming for harmonics and density, not flattening the swell into a brick. If you want that old sampler edge, add redux very lightly. A little downsample goes a long way. If you hear it turning into brittle glass, back off. And for real jungle flavor, tuck a little noise layer behind the swell. It can be operator noise or a simple noise sample. Filter it and keep it quiet. This noise helps the reverse read on small speakers without needing volume, and it creates that worn tape/dusty room vibe. One more advanced move, pitch instability. After you print the reverse, add tiny pitch drift. You can do it with clip envelopes on transposition, just a few cents up or down, like 5 to 15 cents. The goal is alive, not out of tune. Alternatively, use frequency shifter in fine mode very subtly. This is one of the fastest ways to remove that clean plugin sheen. Cool, that's reverse reverb. Next, reverse crash or impact that still hits hard. The most common mistake is letting the reverse layer steal the punch of the downbeat. So here's the rule, separate reverse energy from the impact transient. Choose an impact sample, crash plus sub impact, or heavy cinematic hit. Place it on the drop. Duplicate it into two tracks, impact DRY and impact REV. The dry stays clean and punchy. The reverse is the pre-hit energy. On impact REV, reverse the clip. Add a small fade-in, maybe 5 to 30 milliseconds, to avoid clicks. Optionally, fade it out right near the end so it doesn't smear across the transient. Then control the low end. High-pass the reverse impact somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz. Let the sub and weight belong to the downbeat only. This is huge in DNB because you want the drop to feel like the low end arrives new. Then glue them together. Group the two, put glue compressor on the group, and aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds, release on auto. The goal is that the reverse feels attached, but the impact still punches. Now reverse vocal or one-shot hook. Jungle energy with modern precision. Pick a short vocal or stab, something with attitude. Warp it tightly, so the meaningful consonant lands where you want the listener to perceive the phrase. For vocals, complex pro is usually safe. For simpler stabs, tones can be cleaner. Reverse the clip, then put a gate on it. This is a secret weapon. Set the threshold so it only opens on the louder part of the reverse, and keep the return short. Now the reverse doesn't smear, it speaks like a rhythmic inhale. For tone, band pass it. High pass around 200 to 400 Hz, low pass around 6 to 9K. Add subtle drive with pedal or saturator. If you want width, carse ensemble at a low mix. Keep it tasteful. DNB gets piercing fast if you widen bright content too much. Placement idea. Put the reverse vocal in the last half bar before the drop, and then a dry vocal shout on the downbeat. That call and response makes the transition feel authored, not just engineered. Next, reverse bass suck in. Heavy but clean. This is where people ruin their drops. So we'll do it properly. Only use a mid-bass layer. Duplicate your bass, and on the duplicate high-pass around 120 to 180 Hz so the sub is gone. Now resample a single bass note, stab or one-beat growl, and reverse it. Add movement with auto-filter. Low-pass it and automate the cutoff opening into the drop. Add saturator for harmonics. Use utility to narrow width if it gets wild. And then do the DNB essential. Sidechain it. Put a compressor on the reverse bass. Sidechain from the kick. And optionally also from snare via a drum group or a dedicated ghost trigger if you're advanced with routing. Ratio around 4 to 1. Fast attack, like half a millisecond to 3 milliseconds. Release around 50 to 120 milliseconds, tuned to the groove. The purpose is simple, the reverse bass breathes around the drums so your punch stays intact. Extra coach note here, if the reverse is still masking the hit, don't only EQ it. Micro duck it from the drop anchor itself. Sidechain the reverse so the snare or impact triggers a fast duck right at the moment of impact. That gives you a huge inhale and a clean landing. Now let's build your reusable transition chain. This is where you stop reinventing the wheel every project. On your transitions track, set up a chain like this. First EQ 8 for high pass, usually 200 to 400 Hz depending on the material, and a quick notch if there's harshness in the 2 to 5K range. Then saturator with soft clip, 2 to 6 dB drive. Then redux optional and subtle for that vintage edge. Then auto filter so you can draw energy curves with cutoff automation. Then utility for bass mono and width control. Then a limiter just catching peaks, ceiling at minus 1. Save it as an audio effect rack. DNB reverse transition tool. Now arrangement, because transitions aren't just sound design, they're structure signals. Try this. One bar reverse reverb into the drop, and then create negative space. A quarter bar of silence right before impact creates a vacuum. The reverse doesn't even have to be louder, the contrast makes it feel louder. Another reliable move, two bar reverse crash layered with a filtered noise riser for density. For marking phrase changes, use micro reverses. 1/8 to 1/4 bar reverse on a snare fill right before bar 9 or bar 16 is enough to tell the listener new section, without turning every moment into a massive whoosh, and don't forget transition fatigue. If every drop has the same big inhale, the ear stops caring. Alternate methods. Drop 1. Reverse reverb. Drop 2. Reverse vocal micro plus silence. Drop 3. Reverse impact plus gated noise. Keep the identity, change the technique. Let's hit common mistakes quickly so you can self-correct. If your reverses have sub-content, your drop will feel weaker and muddier. High pass your reverse layers and keep sub for the downbeat. If your reverses are too wide in the highs, they'll collapse in mono and mess up cymbals. Control width, check mono, and don't rely on super wide bright reverb. If your reverb tail is too bright, it'll sound like EDM Sheen instead of Jungle Grit. High cut the reverb, then saturate gently. If your reverse clips aren't aligned to the phrase, it'll feel accidental. Commit to musical lengths like half bar, 1, 2, or 4 bars, and snap the endpoint to the drop. If you're masking the snare transient, fade out the reverse right before the hit, dip 2 to 4K, or use micro ducking triggered by the anchor. Now an advanced set of variations, just to push you into masterclass mode. Try misdirection. Print a reverse reverb from a snare, but land it into a vocal or impact. The ear expects the snare, you deliver something else. Great for fake drops and second drop switches. Try dual reverse layering. One short bright zip, like an eighth or quarter bar, plus one longer darker pull, like 1 to 2 bars. The short gives articulation, the long gives gravity. Try step-gated reverse tails. Put a gate after the reverse and sidechain it from a tight ghost rhythm. The reverse will chatter in time. Very neuro, very techie. Try the reverse flam. Two tiny reversed clips, offset by 5 to 30 milliseconds, slightly different EQ, maybe tiny panning. This audio version is shortened for playback.